fast-moving trucking in the event business, special for the live entertainment business, live events, sports events, and since 10 years also in the family entertainment business.
Thanks very much. Panos, would you be able to give us an example of a recent event that you've worked with, and what were the particular challenges and successes there? Steps forward, maybe at Baku, for instance.
Okay. In Baku, it was the first European Games, no previous reference, and practically extremely short time window for delivering, less than 20 months. And also very, very big shortage of experienced staff, experienced personnel. For the successes, I would say, if I could put one word, I would say legacy. Legacy in terms of road infrastructure that have been practically fully utilized, resolving major problems of the city, reducing the traffic and providing good solutions. Public transport, also some innovation in games operations, where we combined the VIP transportation, T1, T2, and T3, into one on-demand system that could perhaps be the next generation of transportation systems for the Olympic Games. And of course, human legacy. I think Neil Carney touched on that earlier today, that out of these games, a whole new generation of young, talented people was developed. And now we are happy to see that they work in other events.
Stefano, you're fresh from the Ryder Cup. Perhaps you could tell us a bit about that experience.
Yes, I have to say this was a good success for us. We are very happy of the outcome of the planning. Contrary to Baku, we had a good situation where we had 4 years' time for planning. This was very, very important because we were touching five different cities where the golf was situated across the border of these cities, and we had to sort of convince everybody of the scale of the event, because of course at the same time Paris was also bidding for the games, and sometimes they were not really the local territories, they were not very concentrated on the Ryder Cup. But I have to say this is really the real success we had. At the same time, we also worked on the Paris 2024 bid, and that's obviously a great, let's say, honor to be part of such a project, and happy to win.
Sure, we'll talk a bit more about Paris 24 in the future.
I think as a supplier for live entertainment events, we have small problems, but lately, for example, in Zurich, downtown center, we had to bring over 80 trucks on a peak moment. That's quite heavy to organize. And after that, we have to find a parking place for over 80 trucks. And at the end, we end up around 150 km from the city center. And it's not only in Zurich, but also in Paris, Amsterdam, Barcelona. So it's not a big, big issue, but for us as a trucking supplier, that's quite hard, because what we see is more and more events come after each other in the cities or in special event locations. And yeah, then it's hard with 30 trucks or 50 trucks after each other to park and load and unload the trucks. So small issues, but for us, big.
Yeah, I guess city planning must be an important consideration for you. How important is city planning when you're thinking about sort of working on a festival or something like that?
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't have the power to influence the city planners, but what do you think? What's your message to them?
Yeah, my dream is, or I hope that at one point there will be control towers with IT systems, so on the peak moments it's easier, yeah, to organize all the freights and the trucking and all the suppliers to the venues and the city centers. So, for example, in the in the air freight, there's always control towers, and we missed that a little bit on the trucking side.
And we've heard a lot today about the cost of staging major events. Of course, that's been a key theme throughout the day, really. And major events often come under fire for spending on infrastructure that's not necessarily required for the future. Is that a problem that can be applied to transport? I mean, does anybody ever build a railway or a subway or something that's not required for the future? Stefano or Panos, I don't know.
Well, when it comes to cost related to transport, you have maybe two components. One is the infrastructure, as you said. The other one is the operational cost. Okay.
Let's focus on the city infrastructure for now.
Okay. So on the city infrastructure, I have to say the it is rather rare that you have infrastructure that are not necessary to a city, because most cities are full of projects which they just expect the occasion to get throw out from their drawers, sort of a list of wishes. An event could be a good catalyst to accelerate a process.
And
in
people
that
don't
sense.
Vote against a new road, for instance. No one's going to complain if you build a new bypass
when it comes
or a
to
railway
public,
station.
When it comes to public transport, this is generally we are generally behind what is needed in a city.
Understood. Panos, would you agree with that outlook? Or have you been involved in Olympic Games where people have built transport infrastructure that has been labelled a white elephant afterwards?
No, not at all. Definitely, transport is the legacy of transport is undisputed. I would definitely agree with Stefano that cities all have a backlog of projects that they need. So it is the event is used as a catalyst, and also as an optimizer to bring these together in the right way at the right time.
Okay, and what about the sort of operational delivery side of things? Is there too much expenditure on, or in your case, should there be more invested in operational investment into transport to make things work?
I think so. I think as things evolve, and it was good, we had some very good messages coming from different panels today. I think that organizers must, in transport, they have to be even more daring, more brave, and more creative, because it is an area where the legacy is undisputed. It's going to be a win-win. Nobody will come against you if you... invest in an expanded or a new public transport system, and chances are that can be a locomotive also for other kind of more borderline areas like venues to become more optimized in their planning.
Thanks, Panos. I'm not doubting you, but is there anybody out there who disagrees, who thinks that that there is perhaps sometimes there are reasons when you shouldn't invest in transport. Diogo.
I'm not a transport consultant, but I do recall when London won the bid to host the 12 Games, the first thing they did was, do we really need a crossrail?
Yeah.
And that was a bid promise. And then they made sure that it was not needed, and it maybe proved itself the right choice. And just to add in, Rio, we're very harsh when we talk about the Rio legacy for the Olympics. And for every €4 spent in Rio for the Games in hard legacy, €3 were towards sports. Transport. Apologies. Transport. So... I think it was also a right choice, and it's a deserved legacy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that interesting perspective. So we've talked a lot today also about this sort of shift in mindset towards focusing on building only for legacy. What does that mean for transport, Stefano? The new norm.
Yeah. Well, there is a big ambition on the new norm, but it's still a concept, let's say. We really need to transform it into a solution with working in a multidisciplinary way, say with venue planners to locate the venues at the right time and the right place, let's say, and to link to transport operational cost the notion of level of service. We need to be, let's say, to some extent realistic in what we need to, in what we want to include in an infrastructure plan. Don't put the bar where it's needed, not beyond, based on the long-term strategy of the territory, and adapt the concept of the games to that strategy and not the vice versa. There's always a tendency to try and offer a little bit more or even much more when it comes to the bids. So the bidding process is really key to integrate already the right level let's say long-term legacy into the bid itself.
I can see that you're thinking about Paris at the moment, and is now a good time for you to talk about how that applies to the Paris situation?
Yeah, Paris could be, I think, the
Paris Olympics, obviously.
Paris 2024.
You're a consultant to the bid, right?
Yes, we are let's say what they call the IMO, so we accompany the bid, the organizing committee on the transport. And one of the main topic of discussions which we need still to put on the ground is the application of the new norm, which let's say calls for reduce the level of service of some clients, optimize like the TX in Baku, T1, T2, T3, to reduce the operational cost, which is a cost. Transport is a cost because it's a service. And depending on what kind of product you want to buy, it costs costs more or less. And depends on where you put your venues, costs more or less. So we are serving the games concept with the transport, and we are pretty much related to that in order to get a cost. So the approach in Paris is really multidisciplinary, but still there's no solution at the moment.
You're fulfilling a demand, effectively. Let's have a think about the demand in the entertainment industry as compared to sports. I mean, you presumably work mostly on the entertainment side, but also on some sports as well.
Yeah.
So you probably have a perspective, Rutger, of both industries. Which is, for the future, let's say in 10 years' time, where do you think most of your business, your potential business, could come from?
What we see is that the music industry is getting bigger and bigger for us. I think, but I'm not a specialist, that CDs and sales of music is not as it was in the past. So all the artists have to make big concerts and sell tickets to earn some money. In general, I think the part of our logistics side, like the freight logistics, it's just a really, really small part in the total of the logistic in the city. So, of course, it's in peak moments, but again, it's a small part of it. So,
but growing, small but growing.
For us, yeah.
Yeah. Scale is an issue for mega events, obviously. We heard Professor Erdner speaking this morning about the possibility of reducing or certainly controlling the size of the Olympic Games. I know that that's something that Francesco Ricci-Bitti from ASWAF has been proposing for a long time, as encouraging the Olympics to keep stop adding new sports and growing and growing and growing and more venues and more people, the rest of it. What's your view of that, Panos?
I think it was a very positive message coming from Hugo Erdener earlier this morning. Also from the part of UEFA, I think Guillaume Poisson also gave a similar message of rationalizing, I wouldn't say reducing, but rationalizing the scale of the events. and looking at the legacy component more combined with the, better experience for the spectator and the user. So I would say in the sport tradition, we try to reduce the fat, but not the muscle. Mm-hmm. So we must not hurt the games, but we must reduce the unnecessary things around that. And the scale, reducing the scale, it will provide benefits across the board, mm-hmm. definitely.
We see as well that in order, there's a national tendency to reduce the scale of the existing events by sharing the same event across different countries or across different
multiple cities hosting.
Exactly, because there's really a problem of acceptability of an event in a city, because it's a multi venue event that multiplies the interactions. And when you deal with transport, of course, it's like a matrix. And then to connect two points, it's easy. When you connect four, it multiplies geometrically the complexity.
So are you saying that multiple hosts is a good or a bad thing in terms of transport sustainability? Or does it just create a whole load more problems as to how you get people from A to B and all points in between?
It can be a positive and a negative thing at the same time, because it depends on the scales. It obviously have an impact on long travel demand, but maybe with a let's say there's a possibility to influence the origin of the customers, of the spectators, of the visitors, etc. Better than it depends on the catching area of your event. It depends on many factors, but locally, of course, it's much easier.
And also, I would say that it will open opportunities for more creativity and innovation. Mm-hmm. It's a new model, and it is only in the starting stages.
Speaking of innovation, obviously there's an incredible amount of innovation that's being deployed now in the transport and logistics industries that is going to completely revolutionise the sector within the next, 5-10 years probably. We're thinking about sort of driverless vehicles and that sort of technology, IoT for logistics and all the rest of it. Rucker House, what's that going to mean? A roadie is going to be replaced by robotic trucks.
Tesla trucks, so that's hopefully in the next few years the future. And that makes our job easier with our employees and truck drivers. It's quite hard to find them. Lately, we find them in Romania. They are still want to work for a long time to be on the road for over more than 3 months. So hopefully with new Tesla trucks or another company, we're getting to the next step.
So you see it's a good thing for your industry.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Stefano, what do you think what's going to happen in terms of deployment in events, in terms of like connected vehicles?
Yeah. This morning my partner from CTEC was giving a presentation in the Swiss Technical Institute in Lausanne about technology and innovation on transport. There's a huge pressure from any side. Okay, we won't drive our car. We'll be only driverless cars, driverless vehicles. It's not so easy to project ourselves in 10 years' time. Now it's a little bit more than that, but the iPhone was invented in 2007, and it created a revolution. So we don't know. Technology goes very fast. And if talking about Paris, for example, there's Paris 24. We don't know the level of integration of technologies. There's just one element which I want to raise. There's a tendency to think that technology will solve the planning issues, and that through an application or through a new technology, then all the problems are solved. But the technology also needs infrastructures to work. It's not just even the driverless truck or cars or buses, because we're also lacking bus drivers, and not so easy to implement. So
you need a sort of a whole system.
Yeah, exactly. We are not yet there.
If you have a system that has some driverless vehicles and some real drivers, then there's potential for chaos in that, and you won't want to test drive that in an Olympic Park, particularly.
Exactly, that's the point. The application to events will probably, it's my, let's say, thinking is that will come probably later, after that this is a mature enough technology to be reliable enough. Because during an event, a major event, you put such a big pressure on your territory, on your infrastructures, that you don't want to add another variable, another pressure, another risk that could affect the reliability and the delivery of the event.
We really shouldn't talk about the future without thinking about the reality of climate change. And the impact that that's going to have on our sector and your sector, specifically transport within the major events industry. Say, for instance, trucking. I mean, what's your industry doing or going to have to think about?
Yeah, I think from my point of view, we are following what's happening in general in the logistic industry. At the end of the day, for us, the more freight is carried on, the better it is for now. As long as we fly everywhere and bring shows everywhere, of course, environment is very, very important. But with a few trucks, we are following what's happening. So all my trucks are Euro 6 and et cetera, et cetera. But the electric trucks or on O2 or water, on water, yeah, it's still not there. Or the range they can do is just 200 k's or something like that. So for now, we are following.
Mm-hmm. Stefano, do you think that technology and transport management solutions can mitigate the impact of of carbon emissions?
It can be that there can be an optimization of the way the vehicles are used. There can be an optimization on the way the fleets for the games, for example, buses or cars, it's clear. But buses, it's a little bit less easy to understand, because usually they go A to B, but they could follow sort of the Uber system as well.
Yeah, that's a good thing about touring with trucks. You go from A to B to C to D with always fully load.
Yep.
So that's a big difference with the regular transport companies, because they drive around 30% empty. So that's absolutely different.
So that's the point. But in fact, for events, we attract millions of spectators from all around the world and participants. The biggest impact in terms of environment is the planes.
Of course, yeah.
So whatever you do locally, when you attract millions of people from all across the world.
We could have a whole different conference about how to reduce the climate impact of major events, but I thought it was something we should touch on. Thanks for that. Does anybody else have any questions that they'd like to ask about transport and mobility, accessibility during major events? Any questions, or is everybody gagging for a whiskey? I think that's. Oh, actually, move on to the whiskey, which is clearly the highlight of the day. There's another announcement about the results of the poll. So thanks to everybody who voted online on the poll about whether we should have referendums about whether to host major events that require infrastructure. Announce the results of the poll. It'd be interesting to have a show of hands and see how they tally, how that tallies with the poll. So who thinks, yes, referendum is a good idea before you host major events? Only one. Okay, who says no? Okay, clearly you didn't all vote then. It was not quite unanimous. On the online poll said 80% no referendums. We're all sick to death of referendums, particularly when involving major events that require new infrastructure. So, and there was a few people left comments explaining why they thought that, but we can find out more about why we think that over a whiskey outside. Thanks very much. So the whiskey reception starts now. We're going to leave this venue at 6:15 for dinner at Arta at 6:45. So things have moved on slightly in the time frame. We've got a little bit more time to enjoy whiskey and conversation around the exhibition stands. And thank you so much, Panos, Stefano, Rutger. And thank you all for your attention today.